Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 100, episode 2 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say officially, off the top, fuck Coke Industries and fuck Fox News. It's Tuesday, September 17th, 2019. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. What do I do with my hands? Not a clue. Do I put them in front or beside me? Lend me your fears and I'll pass you the bong. I will try not to freak out or flee. Oh, when I get high, I can't cope with my hands. That is courtesy of Wide Awake at 3:45 a.m. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Look at these AKs. It's Nickelback every day. Why did I get so high? Chad Kroeger, yo, that's my guy. Wanna get a Mexi melt. Hot takes just under my belt. 100 weeks of this show. Don't lie, you already know.
Oh, oh man. Hannah Soldiers, thank you so much, Hannah, for that. Nickelback inspired AKA. And I was saying we could do Nickelback this week. You know what? Also, let's start also going into Linkin Park territory.
Oh, no.
Because as if my voice
you're really
wasn't,
showing off your taste in music.
I just want to shriek.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And for the people who don't like the singing, thank you for enduring it. But this is,
Yarl.
Is. This is what the new show is.
Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious and talented Kim Winder.
Hello, guys.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Hey. It's a pleasure having you.
Yeah. It's been too long.
Yes.
It's been a little bit, but yeah. I've grown as a person.
You've grown as a person, great. Fantastic. How's your comic doing?
It's going.
Yes.
It's going all right.
Yeah.
I have not improved technically, but the comedy, as you can see, is landing.
I feel like, you know, and I don't want to take credit, but since you were on this podcast, I feel like I've seen your work everywhere.
Yes.
Oh, no. Thank
yeah,
you for
totally
the huge bump.
Blew you up.
And if I don't get that same kind of bump this time
this
around,
time, yeah.
Well,
you can come back
we'll
and burn
talk,
this place
yeah.
down.
Yeah.
Hey, what's
yeah.
the name of your comic?
The Red Dot.
That's what I thought. Mm-hmm. Go check it out, guys. Where can they find it?
Well, oh, we're flipping this up. Okay. Well, I'm on Instagram and Twitter, the double underscore red dot.
Okay.
And then
double underscore.
I know.
Oh, damn. Somebody. Yeah.
I'm still over here with my amateur ass single underscore.
I'm hyping it up.
Yeah. It's,
woo. Well, I think it's good for people to know, because I think last time after the fact, people were like, wait, I know that comic, and yeah. I didn't even realize that's who's here. Yeah, so that's who's here.
That's who the you're genius. Listening to.
Hi, Mom.
Bow down.
Yeah.
Your mom is a huge fan of the Zeitgeist, right? You were saying enormous fan. Cool.
Oh, no.
The way your eyes just went, oh, no. Definitely no. not.
Yeah, you're
she would have turned it off from the announcement at the beginning of the show.
Yeah. As would many moms. Well, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment, Kim. First, we are going to tell our listeners a few of the things we're talking about today on this second episode from our 100th season.
Ugh.
Can you believe
it? How do we do
it's
it?
Congratulations.
Seasons. Oh, really?
Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's,
this is
it's 501?
I don't know. It doesn't break down perfectly like that because we've taken some days off here and there.
Then we do some bonus episodes. We'll do a recap. It's, you know, it's not about the numbers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's about really,
the
fans. Right. It's about the fans.
It's about the
it's about you guys. It's
now
about
I
the
feel
guests.
Like an ass for
yeah.
No, I think we feel worse because we don't even know our own output. In
yeah,
that sense.
No
We're
clue.
Like, I can give you a ballpark. I think maybe around 5,000.
Yeah.
That's good.
Seems like 5,000.
Not good at numbers.
So we're going to talk about Seinfeld coming to Netflix.
Oh,
We're
wow.
going to talk about Iran and Saudi Arabia, the bombing of the oil fields. I did not catch up.
Refinery,
all the way.
Refinery plants.
We're going to talk about that GM strike. We're going to talk about Kavanaugh's dick. unfortunately,
probably.
There's something very vivid about this particular accusation where I can just like really picture it. Anyways, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about an ex-Google employee who has a really, I don't know, it's kind of a controversial take saying killer robots could be bad. So
yeah. Well, we'll see.
I mean,
killing what?
They seem nice to me. But first, Kim, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Well, recently I had to look up womanizer charging issues, and you are both male, so I don't think you know about women's sex toys as much.
Is that the one with the suction?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm glad you're on board.
Yeah, the one that sucks the clit.
It sucks the clit, yes, and then there's
I know a thing or two.
The clitoral function, as well as...
They help you when you're a male who cannot satisfy a woman.
Or they're away, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But these sex toys are getting, like, so advanced and so well... made. But they still have like these really crappy chargers where it's two metallic magnets that connect to another that charges. But I'm not putting a box inside me. I'm putting a spherical object. So it's hard to keep the charge. It always falls off.
Wait, it's shaped in a way that isn't even conducive to properly charging?
Yeah. So it slips off, or you have to like set it just away for it to stick. And then sometimes it doesn't charge fully. And it's a pretty expensive toy, totally worth it.
Right.
But at the same time, when you have this charger, it just kind of defeats the purpose. And I was trying to find like
hacks.
Yeah, ways to do it. And honestly, all I found was women just ranting how stupid it is. Like, I paid $200 and it's not charging.
Well, $200, where is that on this, like, the price scale of what we're talking? Is that super high end? Is that Ferrari or is that like Kia?
I'm sure they go higher, but for me, that was the most expensive thing I've ever bought.
And wait, so when you're talking about charging, like, in my mind, anything that's charging, typically it's like some kind of cable that you plug in or whatever.
Yeah.
But this is using some kind of contact charging, essentially, there's nothing, it's a balancing act.
Well, it still has a USB, but at the end is like this little sphere with the two magnets, and then you have your toy with the two magnets, and you have to position it to where it will stand. Because it's too top heavy, it will fall over.
You're
I know.
Paying too much money, man, for this to happen.
Yeah.
For $200, sort out the charging issues.
Right.
How long does a charge last for? Like, how frequently do you need to charge it?
A lot.
Yeah. No. Constant.
A lot because, you know, other. But
power
about,
output.
Like,
yeah.
2 hours or so.
Oh, okay.
So.
I mean, it's also not one of those devices that, like, I don't know. You don't necessarily, you're not, like, constantly thinking about it and like thinking about it in a practical way. Sometimes it's more of a need-based thing.
Yeah. Right? It's not like I'm charging my phone every night. It's just
right
when I want to use the toy and shit, right, it's not charged.
Right.
Well, exactly. If anyone from Womanizer's R&D is listening,
change your name.
You got a big problem here.
Yeah, seriously. Also, change your name.
Yeah.
Yeah, Womanizer.
Yeah, I was first like, when he said charging issues, like, about? is that a crime?
Yeah, Womanizer. Yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to charge this person.
I was thinking about toxic men. Yeah. What is something you think is overrated?
Okay, so you guys talked about this last week, but White Claw is overrated.
Okay. Mm.
I know there's a shortage going on.
In some places, yeah.
Yeah, and it's really just because they can't keep up with demand and the cost of the tin can. I know this because my hubs works in the industry and has a rep. And they were...
Oh, and the tea was spilled to him.
Yeah.
I see.
Also, it just tastes like watered-down Kool-Aid. It's not great.
It's deceptive.
Yeah.
Because the first time I had it, I was like, I think I had... two in a row for my first claw experience. And I was like, the first one was like, I drank it so quickly, I thought I was drinking seltzer. And then they had that alcohol aftertaste.
Mm.
But then at the end of the day, I was like, it almost takes the fun out of drinking alcohol because it's so flavorless. But if you're just trying to get at it, I think that might be the X factor for people who just want to like, can't handle the taste of alcohol, but just want to be drinking constantly.
That's just so many calories because it's still like 100 calories. The taste isn't great. And then, I don't know, I'm left dissatisfied. Mm. And there's better seltzers out there, hard seltzers, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, some might even advertise on this show. We don't even know.
Yeah.
If you're out there, let us know. And maybe I'll give you a testimonial.
It may happen.
What do you have a cocktail of choice?
A cocktail? Yeah, an Aviation or a Black Manhattan.
What's a Black Manhattan?
Ooh, it's whiskey, Angostura bitters, orange, and I'm always missing one other thing. I should know because my husband's a bartender.
I guess what makes
it
different?
It adds a extra level of booziness.
Oh, okay.
So it's a nice fall winter cocktail that you have to sip. You can't just down that.
Right. You have to respect it.
Yeah.
It's no wonder you don't fuck with White Claw because you're over here being like, I like dimensions of flavor. Like you're evoking seasons. I'm sure you think of a color story about like a cocktail even.
Oh, I'm totally ruined. Yeah, I'm a snob.
Well, I mean, but that was what's wrong with that? Yeah. The finer things, as we say.
Exactly.
Now, are White Claws a thing that people order in a bar? Will you like...
You can.
You can.
It depends on the place.
Yeah, I guess so. I haven't seen it in a bar, but it's definitely at the liquor store closest to my house.
Yeah.
Because all people at that liquor store buy are tall cans of pre-made Micheladas, the Clamato and Bud Light ones.
Mm.
They can't keep those on the shelf, and blunt wraps, which they can't keep on the shelf, thanks to me.
That, I do see a lot of people buying the Micheladas or whatever, those...
The pre-made Michelada?
Yeah.
There's so many now. There's like one with Golden Road Brewery where it's mango cart plus the Clamato. I don't know if the wave has quite reverberated outside of California, but I feel like more and more people like drinking Micheladas.
I've never tried one.
Really?
No.
Do you like Bloody Marys?
I do.
Will you drink a savory cocktail?
Yes.
Then this is like a very, you know, like an easy sipper of a basically Clamato or clam juice, tomato juice, Mexican beer, maybe a little tajin on the rim. Maybe you put some Hugo Maggi in there to turn it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, there's ways to do it.
Like for me with cocktails, it's always I have to have a bartender make it because the canned seems so unreliable.
Right. No, I much prefer a handmade Michelada versus like the canned ones. The canned ones out here are just too salty. And I'm like, my insides have been preserved.
That's what I'm afraid of. Either too salty, too sweet, and I'm just going to be fucked up the next day.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're not looking for your insides to be preserved? Mm-mm. That's usually one of my top considerations. Also, shout out to the father of Twitter user Kendra, who tweeted over the weekend, super producer Anna Hosni shared this with the thread, that my dad thought White Claws were just like LaCroix and has been drinking one every morning on his drive to work. Laugh my ass off. That's the thing, though, that I've heard somewhere that in the South, like that was a thing people would do is like take a shot once in the morning and once at night just to like get loose, I guess.
What?
I don't know.
Well, that was the basis of the old fashioned.
Oh,
was
really?
A morning cocktail because you were so hungover from the night before. And
right.
You have your dead-end coal industry job. So
right.
You had your old fashioned, which is a cheap way to make a cocktail. And then you would just go about your day.
Yeah.
So. Huh.
Good for your healthy nerves.
Yes.
I've heard. What is something you think is underrated?
Well, this other seltzer. I'm just kidding. underrated? I'm going to say TikTok.
TikTok is underrated. All right. Let's get into TikTok because I don't know what it is.
Is that the kids? What's it, the new Vine?
Pretty well, it yeah, it's the new kind of Vine.
Yeah,
Musical.ly.
Right.
It was formerly Musical.ly. And then on Reddit there's a subreddit TikTok cringe. And it,
oh no, I can only imagine
good.
What's on there.
It was a lot of furries, a lot of lip syncing.
Right.
Just, but like really dark stuff sometimes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Weird kind of.
Or maybe I'm thinking of a Twitter that was like.
There was a Twitter that got shut down.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But behind all that cringe, there's like gold.
Magic, yeah.
There's some really funny shit. At 3 a.m., I'm scrolling through laughing my ass off just because some of them are really, really funny.
Yeah.
So I think it's underrated because you hear so much of the cringe, but if you have the patience, there is some really funny stuff on there.
Like intentionally funny?
Like intentionally
really
funny.
Talented
yeah.
people?
Like really
yeah.
funny shit. Like
really,
really good comedy. Although one thing I will say is I'm pretty sure they've scrubbed like all existence of any kind of Hong Kong protests from TikTok.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah, which has been
interesting.
Very interesting. But like, I mean, that's a separate issue.
Who owns TikTok? Is it just like a company that sprung up in the Vine void?
No, who owns it?
I mean,
that's
there's
a good
something.
Question.
Yeah. Vine, like a lot of really talented comics and, you know, just funny people start out on Vine, so.
Yeah. No, there's like the kinds of bits you will see, it was owned ByteDance, which is a Chinese company, so yeah.
That makes sense.
The like, some of the bits you see are so funny, like, because they're playing around with videos that you think are going to be like, wow, amazing videos. So like, it would be someone making a latte and putting like a heart-shaped filter over the cup and like pouring foam through like this like the shape or whatever.
Right.
And like when they reveal it, it's just a blob underneath. And they're like, nailed it. Or there's another one where this woman was doing a bit where she was like, had a water bottle in front of a coffee cup
mm-hmm.
and pours all the water into the coffee
oh,
cup and then takes a coffee cup and dumps it upside down and it's empty. But then when she stands up, water all over her crotch. So like people are just doing like dumb shit like that too. I'm like, yes.
That's great.
That's what
humor.
Makes it wonderful. And then you have a function like Duet where you can take someone's either super serious TikTok and then just do a side by side and people like endlessly mock or somehow add to it. It's
oh, that's
really,
great.
Really funny.
So, I mean, the functionality is it just is like a more flexible, like almost like Instagram video.
Yeah, it's just another video platform.
Right, another video platform with cool functionality like the Duet thing you just mentioned.
Yeah, but it helps make good video content. Like it, like these other things just sort of like allow you to put post video, but this is sort of like being like, look, you want to make a video? Like here's some tools to
right.
do it.
Yeah, tons more tools than I think Vine ever had. I never was on Vine. Like,
I was
saw
very briefly.
Okay.
But not in like a, I maybe posted three things and they didn't go anywhere and I was very discouraged.
I have spent a lot of time on YouTube just watching Thomas Sanders Vine.
Mm.
The he does a great Stewie Griffin impersonation.
Oh, really?
And then a lot of just optimistic, dark. He's funny. He's on
Got
Instagram
it.
Now, not yeah. on TikTok.
You had me at Stewie Griffin impression.
He's really good.
That's all Jack shares with people in our text thread.
What is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
Okay, so I had like three I was debating on, and I guess I'm just going to call it now. I think sending nudes over the internet is not a bad thing.
Okay.
Obviously, when you do it, it's going to have the potential to get out publicly.
Right.
To the person that you didn't attend. We live in an age now where dating is not just in your social circle, not at your community. It could be someone across the country. Mm. And if you don't see each other a lot, you're still allowed to be intimate and sexual.
Right.
But if you're going to send a nude, you might as well just take the precautions, keep your face out of it, keep any tattoos out of it, just be smart.
Yeah.
And if you're under 18, don't do it.
Yeah.
That's good.
I feel like Euphoria was all built on people weaponizing the distribution of child porn against each other.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, did you watch Euphoria?
No, I still
watch it. Oh, okay. Yeah, there are like moments where they're like, and I'll get you for distributing child porn like right. to like other minors. And you're like, wow. Okay. Huh. But yeah, I think there is like a lot of people, because a lot of the backlash tends to come from older people who would never mm-hmm. themselves imagine that happening. But it's like also it's like to an older person, like, have you been so horny
right.
that you yeah. had to send your nude body across the internet to right. get some kind of feeling back?
Right.
Yeah. Well, I just, that. I see a lot of girls especially just feel like, my ex-boyfriend is threatening to share, which obviously that guy is a cunt.
Right.
But she has to apologize for doing it in the first place. Like, sweetie, you're allowed to be sexual. Like,
right.
I'm sorry you were with this jerk, but you're not wrong in wanting to be sexual with your partner.
Right.
So I just stop apologizing. Send nudes. Just be over 18.
Yeah, I feel like it should be... If somebody's threatening to do that, like outing them for threatening to do that should be the actually damaging part, right?
Oh, yeah.
Aren't there like laws that are being put into
revenge porn?
Revenge porn
laws?
Yeah.
Because like, they have to like really articulate a whole, you know, vocabulary around it to be
right.
to like properly.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's people love to moralize about shit that they never even had the option to make a decision about. So, yeah, older people are going to be like, well, I never did that. And it's like, well, yeah, because you would have had to fucking get a VHS tape and like ship it across the country.
A Betamax.
Right.
Oh, man.
Back, we used to just do sketches of ourselves.
Right. I mean, Titanic.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was nude.
That was could you imagine? Hell, man.
Yeah, or like just classical sculptures. Like if those are really like, those are actually nudes. Those
right.
aren't art pieces. Like
right.
that's just how those people got down.
Yeah, I mean, when you think
nudes.
About it,
yeah.
like that's exactly what they were. It's just because they're so removed from any distinguishing features. Like mm-hmm. some of them have the head taken off, like
yeah.
the Venus de Milo.
Oh, that's...
Right.
And they're hard all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, yeah.
Although even though we're talking about with Eric Lampere, the reason some of the penises are small because there's an adrenaline rush
right.
happening.
Not, that's just... David.
Or maybe just David.
Yeah.
I heard that back in like Greek-Roman times, I could be off, but having a smaller penis meant you were smarter, like you were less brutish.
Yeah, I believe that. That sounds probably right.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's physiologically the
truth.
That's
pretty spot on.
Right.
From how I would see, what was the reason they had?
It just means that you're more
right,
intellectually
right,
sound.
Right, right,
yeah.
Right, right, yeah. right, right.
Yeah, I remember reading a...
Very intellectually sound.
Like something like that, and they had a quote from a like a Greek writer that was like, his beautiful small pecker or something like that.
What?
Yeah. That was like seen as like a manly, awesome thing to have a little wiener.
All right.
All right. Well, we are off to a fucking great start.
Learning something new already.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates.
Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
And we're back, and a Saudi oil refinery got bombed by a drone.
Few drones.
And it was apparently a very successful bombing because it threatened 20% of their oil output.
Yeah, it's huge. Wow. I think it's one of their largest refineries, if not the largest one.
Right.
But I think, you know, again, it just kicked off the whodunit.
Right.
Where you have on one side in the U.S. just out of nowhere, being like, yeah, it's probably Iran.
Right.
Even in Saudi Arabia, they're like, well, we're still looking at it. Could be. Obviously, it's the rebels in Yemen are the ones saying like,
right.
It
was
Houthi
them. Rebels. And
yeah. But it's also just, again, we've right when John Bolton leaves. You know, I feel bad. He was this would have been right up his alley to start banging the war drums again, doing
right.
a sick solo on the war drums. But, you know, I think as things develop, we'll see what happens. I think, like anything, if the Pentagon has information or intelligence that actually confirms who it was, they're very quick to try and shove that in people's faces.
Right.
Because I remember when, like, Nikki Haley back in the day was, like, holding up pieces of, like, missiles or bombs or fragments. Was like, see, it says right here, it's stamped made in Iran, so it has to be Iran. So I think
right.
we have to go to war. Like, it was like, whoa, easy.
Right. I mean, even some of the more recent reporting on this is saying that Tehran arms these Houthi rebels. So if it is them, Iran is like at least partially responsible. But it just seems like, I don't know, that's not really a one-to-one relationship.
Yeah, and also, I mean, let's be real. Like we're backing Saudi Arabia like in the middle of a humanitarian crisis that's happening in Yemen, and like
right.
we're constantly on the wrong side of fucking everything right now.
Right.
So this is just another moment too where like even with what Trump was like tweeting was essentially kind of like, well, whatever, we'll see what the Saudi Arabians say, and then based off of that we'll attack whoever they think it is, kind of essentially.
Right.
Which was sort of the gist of his tweet, I think, was where he says, but we're waiting to hear back from the kingdom as to who they believe was the cause of this attack and under what terms we would proceed.
And
which
I mean,
is odd because it's like saying like, hi, MBS, like just point and we'll shoot.
Yeah, exactly.
Or
and
how
if
many
you can't
guns
trust
can we
Saudi
sell
Arabia,
you?
Like who can we trust, right?
Oh boy.
They're,
who
they
can
seem
we
like
trust?
Good people, right?
Maybe John Bolton changed teams.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think he still wants to have his like special where he gets to talk all this shit about Trump, but I don't know if anyone wants him.
Wait, does he have a special coming up?
No, but I mean, like, just when we were talking about how he got fired, how he was basically, like, all the reporters in D.C. were like, he's really pissed off and wants to have his moment to tell everybody how bad he thinks Trump is, but we've yet to see that happen quite yet.
That's amazing that a guy who has that mustache would be that upset about how something made him look. Like,
is
that image conscious?
Well, yeah. The one interesting thing was hearing Tulsi Gabbard.
Yeah, just came, said Trump awaits. And so Trump was talking about basically what you just said, that he's waiting for Saudi Arabia's take. And she said Trump awaits instructions from his Saudi masters. Having our country act as Saudi Arabia's bitch is not America first.
Damn.
We'll see what he does with that one.
We will.
But I mean, yeah, again, it's, we'll see what kind of talks they're going to have. I mean, before it seemed like he was willing to, Trump was willing to have condition or no conditions talks with Iran. And other people have said it numerous times. And now suddenly it's like saying, like, the media is saying that I would meet with Iran with no conditions. Oh, that's wrong. That's wrong. That's
right.
But it's, my man, you're going to have to meet with these people if you want to avoid some kind of, you know, terrible, terrible, catastrophic armed conflict.
Right. Can meet these hands is what Trump's saying.
These little hands.
Meet these tiny hands. Yeah. And also, I do like how spicy the Democratic candidates are getting. Like we were talking about after the debate, Kamala Harris being just like, fuck you, man. Like,
when?
Just how she was talking about Trump. Oh. Like, she was just basically wanted to get him to respond, and now Tulsi Gabbard. Like, I feel like there's a race to try and get him to engage with one of the Democratic candidates. But I think he has explicit instructions. Like, don't give
free
life
press
to anyone.
Away.
Yeah.
That's the only time he'll listen to the aides, because right. It keeps the focus on him and not help
right.
any of them.
Yeah.
It's free press. Can't give it away. Although he gave Chrissy Teigen and John Legend some free press
right,
last
yeah,
week.
Exactly. Oh,
I guess if you're not running for president, then maybe he can see the value in that.
Right.
Although, all it's going to take is one more poll, and he's going to be like Pocahontas and
yeah.
Wacky Bernie or whatever the fuck he calls him.
I think he does talk shit about Biden, because I think
he
already recognizes that he's like the presumptive nominee.
Yeah.
Right. But he slowly started to, his gaze has shifted towards Elizabeth Warren too.
Yeah.
Well, but anyway. It all depends on the day.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about the GM strike. It's the biggest strike, biggest U.S. labor stoppage since 2007, the last time GM struck or striked. I don't know which one is the past tense. I don't remember. I was asking people in the office if they remembered that strike being a huge news story, because this one feels like it's being covered as a huge news story, which I think it is. And the teacher strike last year was covered as a big news story. And I'm just wondering if there is a slightly more labor-friendly kind of underpinning to the mainstream news cycle.
I wonder if, because it was sort of fallout from the 2008 financial crisis,
right.
when they were getting bailed out, that they probably didn't want as many stories about how that actually, it was like corporate welfare.
Right.
Because I feel like a lot of, from my drug-addled memory from back then, it was, seemed like a lot of it was talking about like how we need to save these companies.
Right.
Like, we don't want to bail them out, but if we don't, it's really going to take a hit to like one of the biggest industries in the country, the automotive sector or whatever.
Right.
And it wasn't so much of like, we're just letting them completely fuck up and we're bailing them out. I mean, I think a lot of progressive news outlets were like that, but I think the story was more like, guys, we gotta save the banks and GM.
I think the way of the collective thinking has shifted, because back in 2007, 2008, it's like, let's save the companies because that has the people. But now we're really focused on the people instead of the companies, which is, I think, a great step forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think probably the media is at least partially taking its cues from Bernie and Elizabeth Warren, like polling as strongly as they're polling, despite the fact that they're, you know, not the traditional candidates that the media would cover. So at least they have to take into account that, you know, there seems to be more general support among the general public for these more kind of worker-friendly, labor-friendly policies.
Well, yeah. And I think, again, it's just a function of the way the economy is moving and working people getting fucked over consistently.
Yeah.
And now we're slowly, I think, entering an era where people are beginning to make sense of like who the perpetrators are.
Yeah.
And now it's being more like, oh, right. Yeah. Unions. Yes. Good. Help each other. Work. Live better together. And now we're looking at... Because I think a lot of it, too, is they think they were promised raises during the financial crisis.
Right.
And they're like, yo, we still have not fucking see, like, what happened there?
Right.
Like, y'all got bailed out and nothing has happened. Nothing has improved for the workers. And the amount that they've moved on the contract is like, they said something like 2% of the contract has been negotiated.
Right.
And only, there's 98% of it. And there's just been a lot of foot dragging. So, yeah, I mean, God, I mean, do what you got to do. I mean,
yeah, speak out, stand up. You're working for them. It's a partnership, not you're indebted to them for your job.
Yeah, yeah. But sadly, I think still companies all look at their employees like that, right? It's just sort of like, yes, how much can I get out of you?
Well, it's time for a fucking change. Yeah. Like, go GM workers. I support you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you know, just back to the more general like zeitgeist vibe of the country, you know, it's there's a change when CEOs are actually changing to be more like worker friendly and employee friendly, at least in like what they're saying. Jamie Dimon and a group of CEOs are basically challenging other CEOs to change the governing principle of corporate America to be less profit and share price focused and more like holistically focused. And this is a story that I was covered in like the New York Times and the New Yorker, the fact that CEOs are doing this, and I don't necessarily trust it as far as I can spit, but it definitely, at least this change to the zeitgeist is being observed by them. You know, they're not going to say that they're not going to like change the core principle of their operating procedure unless they really think it endangers their future profits not do that.
Yeah, Jamie Dimon as the head of JP Morgan Chase.
Right.
He's probably seeing some things in the forecasts
that
might suggest that you're dealing with a consumer base who like you're trying to get to buy more shit but realizing their wages are stagnant and they're like the ability to accumulate wealth is nearly impossible for younger generations. So yeah, like at a certain point I feel like just in terms of a business you need to begin to pivot. But I don't know if that's, again, Jamie Dimon said some other thing earlier this year, but I was like, really? Jamie Dimon?
Yeah.
But again, talk is nice, but I'm curious to see like what functionally that actually means. Like, are they going to incentivize? I don't know. What are we doing here? What's really good, Jamie?
Yeah.
I would see like they're testing it. Like, can we get away with just saying good shit and will they be quiet?
I'm sure.
Like, it'll buy you 2 months.
Yeah. And then they're slowly going to have to accept it because suppressing it is not going to work anymore. It's just we're at a phase where people are going into adulthood with debt from school.
Yeah.
You can't buy a house. You can't do anything.
Anymore. That's what it was, I think, is what Jamie Dimon was talking about, where he was like, we got to deal with their debt or they're not going to be able to buy stuff that we sell, essentially.
It's true.
But I guess that's more of just a very logical thing of like, look, y'all, if they need money in their pockets to give back to us, then we need to sort of cancel some of this debt out.
Yeah. The New York Times piece that I read these CEOs talking about was kind of giving a general history about how this is the most that any CEOs and business leaders have most attention they've paid to workers since the 70s. And like they explained the way that it got this way was during the 80s, a bunch of CEOs, like I had always heard the term corporate raiders, but apparently there were these like hostile takeovers where CEOs would come in and basically say, this current CEO is like giving away too many benefits and like we're going to strip it down to the bare minimum. And so CEOs became afraid of having like hostile takeovers of their companies. So like the organizing principle of like CEOs became like to make it as shrewdly profit driven as possible. And that's sort of the period we're still in up until right now. But the New Yorker piece that it was a part of started off looking at this like corporate retreat where like all these people, it's the thing from the end of Mad Men, if you've seen that, where like everybody's meditating, but they're all like Fortune 500 CEOs and shit. And they're all just like, it's like this blending of like new age wisdom and shit and like the corporate. And
predatory capitalism.
Like, predatory capitalism.
Jesus.
But yeah, it's this exclusive place, like corporate retreat or something.
I think, I can't remember the show. Tobias is on it. He has a hook.
Arrested Development.
Yeah. I think they had something like that too, where the dad tried to do a new age cult retreat out on the border of Mexico with his twin.
Yeah.
So kind of poking fun.
The sweat lodge.
Yeah.
That was great.
It's funny. Again, I think, like you're saying, right, we're hopefully slowly getting into an era where people are looking upward class-wise as an explanation for why they have little rather than down or to the margins
or
of society.
Yeah.
And I think that's why now, I think maybe that's the heat CEOs are feeling, like, some guy said I was evil
right?
just for being a billionaire. It's really weird. I worked hard for this money.
Right.
And not understanding, it's like, I guess numerically now, more and more, like, these people are going to be viewed as, like, the real fucking pariahs, or at least to a group of people who are engaged enough in understanding, like, the nuances of our economy and things like that. But maybe that's the thing. They're also trying to do a little PR spin, because if I was at that level, you would think, like, when do the pitchforks come out?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, did I say enough that, like, maybe I can, like, they'll remember that I was one of the good billionaires
right.
that was, like, kind of on their side, but also took everything they had. I don't know.
Yeah, for sure. The thing that's weird is not that these CEOs are having a crisis of conscience. It's the 30 years that preceded it, where CEOs were just raiding and, you know, mistreating their workers to increase their share prices. But it's still, you know, at least progress from within, or it can look like progress from within. Hopefully.
Yeah. Well, then look, we've got a, you know, maybe an election. Election can begin some kind of shift there.
Right. All right. Let's speak briefly about Justice Kavanaugh, Brett.
Yeah.
What a guy.
So the New York Times dropped a new report that involves another incident that had been brought to the attention of the FBI and kind of totally discarded.
Yeah, not publicly known. I mean, so during his confirmation, right, Christine Blasey Ford's testimony was the focal point of sort of like, oh, this is the example of why Brett Kavanaugh should probably not be anywhere near a court.
Yes.
Unless he's in the defendant's seat. And there, I think once that happened, I remember the weekend before then, there was another allegation that came out from this woman, Deborah Ramirez.
Right.
And the FBI is like, all right, well, hold on a second. Fine. Right. We'll look into this for a couple days and then we'll say we're quote unquote investigating so we can give cover to Jeff Flake and Susan Collins, who's going to get this fucking guy through.
Right.
Because that's really the end game everyone was looking for. So that was sort of like how things had left or ended. But now we're finding out that there was another classmate of Brett Kavanaugh's. This guy went through Chris Coons and the FBI to be like, at a party at Yale, he put his genitals, like thrusted his genitals into the hand of a passed out another classmate of theirs.
Miles, now what you are missing, what you're leaving out, is that his friends pushed his genitals into her hand.
Is that, who says that?
That's the story, actually, but that's the thing that conservatives are like seizing on, and they're like, so he was the victim because they pushed his genitals. Like, he was this unwilling person.
So
who they had,
he was just at a party
with his
dick hanging out.
As one does at Yale.
Yeah.
Right.
You just do it. Yeah. And how dare they grab his penis and force it into another hand? Just poor
were they
Kavanaugh.
Really? So were I know I was joking earlier when we were talking about it, about being like, I think they need to find out who those guys were.
Yeah, that's what Ben Shapiro was saying. He was like, yeah. I mean, that's basically sexual assault on their part. It's just a bad faith argument.
How the
where
fuck
they're...
do you make Brett Kavanaugh a victim? Like, just by hearing it, actually, no, actually, Brett Kavanaugh has been the victim this whole time.
Yeah.
But I guess that's how the logic works of that party.
I want to know if his dick was hard in the guy's hand.
Wow. That's a good
You'll
question.
Never know. And that's sick, because Justice Kavanaugh is a good upstanding Catholic.
His penis was hard. He enjoyed it.
Right.
It's no.
I mean, this whole thing, right? It's just bringing back to light how fucked up that whole confirmation process was.
Yeah.
Because it was clear to fucking anybody who wasn't so gassed up on GOP propaganda that Brett Kavanaugh did not even have the fucking temperament to be a fucking toll booth operator. Like, he was very upset, very angry. He's everyone knew he was lying under oath. He unequivocally said, I have never blacked out.
Right.
Like, I don't black out ever.
He was Mr. Blackout during high school and college.
Right. Everyone were like, no, that's
he
not Brett Kavanaugh.
He changed the definition of a devil's triangle.
Right.
That's how fucked up
it's a drinking
was.
Game.
Right. Where
you two guys have sex with a woman. Anyway. Then again, and so now I think because of that too. Oh, another thing is I think the DOJ gave like some in just like one of the highest recognition like awards to the team of lawyers who got his confirmation through.
Oh,
well
really?
Done yes. on shady work, boys.
Yeah, no,
well
seriously.
Done.
And if you look at too like how the FBI did pretty much nothing, they sat on their hands. Now, you know, a lot of Dems and especially 2020 candidates are like, we need to impeach Justice Kavanaugh.
Right.
We need to have an investigation into what the fuck that investigation was, because it was not an investigation. And it's kind of bringing this whole thing back. But I think when you look at just the mechanics of it, I know there are a lot of people calling for his impeachment. I think he absolutely needs to be removed from being a Supreme Court justice or probably just judge in general. But it's the same thing as with the president, right? Like, the impeachment for removing a Supreme Court justice is it'll go to the House. If it gets up to the House, then it's off to the Senate for the trial, and then they need a 2/3 majority to remove him. But the numbers aren't there for something like that.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere.
Isn't Mrs. Ford still in hiding because of death threats?
I believe so.
Yeah, I don't think things have improved much.
Out of all of that, that just enrages me even more. Just
yeah, it's like watching like old history where like the bad guys win and you're just like, God, that must have been so brutal. Like, it's happening in front of us like now.
Like, it's just beyond words for me that this woman obviously put herself on the line in front of the entire
everything.
Country.
Yeah.
Like, detailing her sexual assault, and yet the bad guy wins and she's in hiding because people want to murder her for speaking.
Because,
what the fuck
right.
is this country if you can't talk?
Right.
Like, number one amendment? I'm so mad about that.
Yeah, no, I mean, and again, I think too, and the people who are rah-rahing it from the sidelines are the people who like just want the kind of Supreme Court justice that will slowly dismantle the federal government, essentially, or like take away a lot of programs that support people. Because, you know, you have all your fucking, your Koch brother type people, like, you know, working to get these kinds of Supreme Court justices in mm-hmm. to help these major decisions that fundamentally change the laws in this country to go in their favor. And again, I mean, look, if it can help motivate people to vote for a Democrat in 2020, then sure, like you can talk about this. But I think it's hard to figure out how this could possibly happen, because historically it's just been very, very difficult. And I'm not sure if has like a Supreme Court justice been removed maybe in like the 1800s or something.
Yeah, they tried to impeach a Supreme Court justice because he was like blatantly like weighing in on partisan stuff, but even then, like, it ended up not happening. I think Vox was writing that you could remove a judge from office without resorting to impeachment or driving them out to the woods and yelling at them to go home, like in Harry and the Hendersons. like, there's apparently it says that a judge shall hold their offices during good behavior.
Right.
And they think that the term good behavior would have been understood to have legal implications at the time. Congress could impeach over treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors, but also like good behavior.
Right, meaning that there are many other things, because they're pointing to like other judges who have been stripped of their bench duties,
right?
From like taking bribes or other things like that,
right?
But what's funny is like that paper about good behavior was written by these two law professors who you're like, oh hell yeah, man, these like progressive like legal right. scholars are looking into it. One of them was a law clerk to Clarence Thomas,
yeah,
and the other was just a frequent contributor, like libertarian conservative think tank, like
right.
op-ed writer. So it's funny because even though you'd think this was like laying the groundwork for a liberal victory, like this was just another, this was from the coming from the right of even examining the Constitution, understanding like, oh, is that, you know, is that possible?
Well, because the right is the insurgency. Like, they've like had an insurgent mentality because they have, you know, a far smaller base of voters. So they have to use just horrible trickery and, you know, just conniving shit like this. And it's good that more liberal institutions are even like thinking about stuff like this, about using things like this. But the Democratic Party lags way behind on this shit. Like, they won't even impeach the president when he committed high crimes and felonies in a report his own executive branch ordered. Like, so are they going to use this very kind of circuitous route to try and get Kavanaugh out of office? I doubt it.
I don't know why the Democrats are so hesitant on making change in progression, because last time I would really say the 60s with the civil rights, like, we kind of threw shit out the window and just did it, and right. It was for the better. Why are we so complacent on holding it how it is? We're not going to get anywhere, especially when the right wants to play dirty.
Yeah. Well, I think you have less and less people who are, you know, I mean, like they say, politics, politricks. But I think there are even less people who are in office now who actually care fundamentally about like the well-being of the country or the democracy or anything. It's like, it's a job. I happen to be like a really savvy business person in my part of the specific state. Other people said like, I could probably do this politics thing. I will, you know, like, so there's, I don't know. I mean, it's really difficult to watch, like, when you see all of these things happening just in broad daylight. But one thing we've seen is many of the leadership or the leaders on the Democratic sides of things just fear a boat that is rocked too hard is going to throw everybody off, because they're not, I guess there's no belief that some like real meaningful change is actually could energize many people rather than like the well-funded minority groups or minority of wealthy people or other stakeholders who just want to, you know, fund messages that are counter to that, to kind of obscure the narrative.
Right. All right. We're going to take another quick break and we'll be back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
And we're back. And we've talked about how Netflix lost Friends or is going to lose Friends and The Office fairly soon.
Really, really.
So they needed a win. They needed something,
yeah. And it may have come.
Yeah. The answer has come in the form of Seinfeld.
In a way, I think how no one cheered right after that shows that. Yeah, okay. That makes sense. I mean, it's a good show. People like watching. I remember when it first went to Hulu, that was a big deal.
Right.
But then I'm not sure what those numbers are. When you think about the amount of like man hours people are spending watching Friends and The Office on Netflix,
yeah.
Is it going to make up for it?
That seems like a big weight because when it first went to Hulu, Hulu was kind of crap. Like,
yeah.
No one really cared for Hulu.
It was a hook for Hulu.
Yeah.
Right.
Now it's going to Netflix. The weights are changing.
Yeah.
Right.
The one thing that I was impressed with is that this will be the first time that all 180 episodes will be on one service globally and in 4K. Now, I don't know if I'm not sure I need to see Seinfeld in 4K.
You got to see it in its full glory. It's beautiful. Yeah.
I feel like sometimes it's like when things are up-res like that, I'm a little bit like, this doesn't have to be like that. We could have stopped it at like 720.
Yeah.
You know, don't need to go that far. But there was it's odd that even there wasn't much of a bidding war. Like the way Sony, who was pitching it to other streamers, they were kind of just sort of like, we don't have an asking price, but we just want something like that shows that you treat it in like or view it similarly to a Friends or a The Office in terms of their bids.
Sure.
So I guess that's like 130 a year.
Yeah.
30 million a year.
I think with streaming services, it's definitely younger audiences because we're much more quick to cut the cable. Like, I don't have cable. I have Hulu and Netflix and YouTube. But
YouTube's free.
Well, the premium.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to pay for those commercials.
You're like, no, these are just some cool stuff on that YouTube, man.
Dog videos.
Yeah. One of my favorite channels.
Yeah. So with Office and Friends, like, those get quoted all day long still, where Seinfeld, I told you guys, I've never really watched a full episode.
Yeah. Were you a fan of Friends and The Office before they became like streaming phenomenon?
Definitely Friends. The Office is when it was on, but I think that's just like my personal schedule.
Yeah.
And I can turn that on and like still kind of laugh with it and do something else.
I feel like I've watched The Office too much. Where I can, I'll basically say the words along with the episode.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm no longer being entertained. I'm doing some kind of like memory recall exercise of a show that I like.
Right.
Which I've had to start distancing myself, wean myself off The Office.
In the brief DVD period, like I didn't give a shit about like Friends DVDs, but I did like buy Seinfeld DVDs. Like, cause
those are collectors.
Yeah. See, that was a thing. I think there was this attitude maybe for us elderly millennials too.
Right.
That like Seinfeld felt like a important thing in the 90s. So like when the whole DVD thing was happening, I felt like a lot of the DVDs I bought were, again, it wasn't about like watching them. It was about manifesting your tastes on a shelf.
Right.
And being like, and that is who I am. Okay.
Yeah.
City of God, The Office season 4.
Had it.
The Professional.
Yeah.
And The Rock. Sorry, I'm canceled. But, you know, that was kind of the attitude. And now that, like, we're in the post-DVD world, that things are changing.
But Seinfeld's definitely, like, quotable, and they're, like, funny, like, concepts in the show that I could see, like, being memeable and stuff like that. I do think there's, like, something to the fact that, like, Jerry and George are, like, having sex all the time, and they're like these ugly middle-aged guys.
Oh, come on.
Like,
you too
like,
can have sex.
Yeah, I feel like that might jump out to people as to young people as being like, really? Like that's...
Yeah, well, yeah. George, especially, at times you couldn't believe like what those moments are like where he was being charming.
Right.
But, you know, I guess watching Curb Your Enthusiasm, I get Larry David's charm and knowing that that's just... supposed to be Larry David.
Right.
Like, not actually seeing full episodes or really knowing much of it. There's still stuff I know, like the soup Nazi. And then I think there was an episode where, what's her name? Diane in the show?
Elaine.
See, this
Sam
is
and Diane.
Yeah.
And I think she was trying to get
Sam. Seinfeld is basically Cheers to younger millennials. Yeah. It might as well be.
But she wanted to start a store where it was just selling muffin tops. And like 12-year-old me, like mind fucking blown. That's, of course. No one eats the bottoms.
Right. And, yeah, muffin tops.
Wait, no one. Or do you? Oh, are you that kind of person? Like it resonated where you're like, of course no one would dare to eat the bottom part.
I'd rather not say.
Okay,
there.
Yeah, all right. That's your information to keep to yourself.
Yeah, but that's funny. You were saying that like you would watch The Simpsons and then Seinfeld would come on, and that was your cue to leave, like stop watching at the end, like
pretty
after
much.
School.
Yeah,
like that was so. Seinfeld was essentially your MASH. Like that's what MASH was to me when I was a kid. Like,
oh right,
you
right.
don't
like,
love MASH?
No.
Oh my god,
I love the movie.
That's so funny that you like. You're like, I never seen this, and like. But you don't like MASH.
I love MASH. Like, that shit was serious and funny, and I'd totally fuck Hawkeye.
Okay.
Yeah. How did you get into
MASH? You still
MASH?
Could. I mean, he's
still
around.
He has a
still
podcast.
Very funny.
Mr. Hawkeye.
Sir Hawkeye.
My dad was in the military, and my mom thought cutting cable in the summer would make us go outside. Oh, hell no.
No.
I watched Bonanza. I watched MASH. I watched all the oldies.
Nice.
So... yeah, that show's great. Try that.
Right. It's funny because in my mind, I would be dozing off to the theme song of MASH. Because, in L.A., it came on after the 10 o'clock news a lot of times on Fox 11. Oh. Okay, shout out to John Beard, who also was frequently in Arrested Development.
I think I fucked up on Arrested Development. Tobias is the never nude, right?
Yes.
Okay, because the
you're talking
guy
about
is...
Buster.
Yeah,
Buster.
That's okay. Yeah. No, we're right.
Okay.
The theme song to MASH is Suicide is Painless.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's dark, man.
I think you can actually go on a hike here in LA and they still have like some of the prop stuff up.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Me and my roommate keep talking about doing it, but it's like pretty far north towards like Malibu and everything.
Right, right.
But they still have like where the helicopter takes off in the very last episode and... I really want to do it just because that, out of anything, seems really cool to me.
So what New Zealand is to Lord of the Rings fans, the Santa Monica Mountains.
Yes, as long as it's not on fire, I'm totally
there.
Yeah,
yeah. Right. Well, the season is upon us. So
that is funny that was shot in the Santa Monica Mountains because it was supposed to be about Vietnam, but it was actually set during the Korean War because you couldn't say something about Vietnam. But... it definitely looks like neither of those countries, really. It's like dry shrubbery and shit.
Yeah.
Like totally Southern California. Well, shit. We'll see. All right. You think it'll be a hit? You think it'll be a Office Friends level hit?
No.
I don't think because Seinfeld's time has come and gone in a way. And I don't think there's going to be a revival.
Right.
You know what I mean? I think the revival Seinfeld had was on DVD.
Yeah.
Like it went off the air. And then people like sat on a little bit. The DVDs came up. You're like, oh shit, I can get the fucking puffy shirt deluxe edition box set.
Right.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
And then it died off and then came back on Hulu. Some people were like, cool.
Yeah.
But then it's these other shows. I don't know. I mean, we'll see what the watch times. I'm sure Netflix will either share or not share how intense the watch times are.
I'm just talking more about like the memeing and like the fact that The Office became like the comedy show that was like part of.
Right. Well, I guess the difference is like with The Office, especially like a lot of people who make content or even younger people who are from the meme era, they were like watching The Office.
Right.
So that's already sort of hardwired into their sort of sensibility that happened. Like where Seinfeld, like you probably have to be in your 30s, 40s to be like, yo, I fuck with Seinfeld heavy.
Right.
And then at that point, are there enough people? I don't know.
We'll see. Maybe it'll be like the Gen Z, The Office, where like even younger people will be super into it.
Or maybe they'll be into MASH.
Well, right.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. My kids will be.
Bring it back. Yeah.
Well, I think the two ladies from The Office, Jenna Fisher and the lady.
Angela Kinsey.
Yeah. They just started a podcast. So people are still really into this shit.
Oh, yeah. So absolutely.
I don't. Well, I guess Jerry Seinfeld's doing comic and Cars Getting Coffee, but...
That's why a lot of people thought... That's one of the reasons why I went to Netflix, too, because he was already doing business with them.
Yeah.
That was a $100 million deal.
He has not For
comedians and cars, fucking
$100 million
wasting
dollars?
Your fucking time.
Holy
yes,
shit!
Hundred
doesn't even
million.
Look like
that
good
show
coffee.
Sucks. Sorry.
Oh, come on.
The episode I've seen of that show. So. All right. Let's talk about Google. A former Google employee named Laura Nolan.
Yeah.
Who was an engineer who worked on Project Maven.
Yeah.
Which is their joint venture with the Pentagon. Basically, she's saying autonomous weapons are going to...
Could bring about terrible, disastrous consequences.
Have
for
some
people.
Unintended...
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was like briefing fucking UN diplomats in like Geneva, New York, kind of saying, because, you know, Project Maven was a thing like over 3,000 Google employees signed on to be like, yo, knock this fucking shit off. We want nothing to do with like the work we're doing on like, you know, machine learning to be helping killing robots identify humans better. Like that's out. So they let that. They let that deal, you know, collapse or whatever. They didn't renew it or whatever. So they're no longer involved. But she's been really out there campaigning by saying, like, this is going, like, just from our standpoint, there's a lot of things that could go wrong when you have a ton of, you know, basically killer robots on autopilot just flying around.
Right.
That's terrifying. This is actually the first that I'm hearing of it. And in my mind, I just keep thinking back, like, the first law of robotics was do no harm to humans. Or is that computer robotic?
Yeah, robotics. I think it was the robotics, yeah.
But that's terrifying.
I mean, I wonder what Isaac Asimov would say if he did see this. He'd be like, what the fuck are what the fuck are you guys doing?
Yeah.
Right. Like, I think his vision of the future was like, well, they wouldn't be so stupid as to do something like this.
Right.
Like, just create hunter-killer drones.
Because the thing she's also pointing out, she's like, look, yes, obviously, like, the target recognition thing is going to get more and more sophisticated by discerning between, like, someone maybe holding a gun or versus, a box or an inanimate object. But context is still a huge piece that's missing from these things.
Right.
So she cites an example. She says, quote, you could have a scenario where autonomous weapons that have been sent out to do a job confront unexpected radar signals in an area they are searching. There could be weather that was not factored into its software, or they come across a group of armed men who appear to be insurgent enemies but are in fact out with guns hunting for food. The machine doesn't have the discernment or common sense that the human touch has. Because right now, drones are operated by crews, like human beings, and you know that are using some of this AI to help them, but it's not, the decision-making is still falling to like a human operator. And they're saying that the other scary thing about these autonomous war systems is that you can only really test them by deploying them in a real combat zone. And she speculates, quote, maybe that's happening with the Russians at present in Syria. Who knows?
It's going to get to be like where Amazon delivers your package via drone and then makes a hit on its way back.
Right. Yeah. Just to get the most out of it.
Yeah. Really utilize the technology for the benefit of bad people.
Here's a new docking station for your womanizer. I also have to go put down
Thank
an
God.
Uprising in a city. And when you look also, though, at the other weapons that are already being developed by, like, just the U.S., Russia, they're already on this wave, like, into it.
Yeah.
There's the AN-2 Anaconda gunboat, which is the U.S. Navy's completely autonomous warcraft equipped with artificial intelligence capability. What basically is going to do would, quote, loiter in an area for long periods of time without human intervention. So it's like a sentry boat.
That's like just hovering in the air?
No. Oh, it's a gun boat. It's a boat. But like it's just sort of being like, it's on autopilot. It'll blast out whatever the fuck it has to.
It's just off in the distance.
Just waiting for
instructions. Yeah, waiting for you to fuck up.
Russia has
a
tank.
That doesn't sound unnerving at
all. Russia has a tank that is unmanned and autonomous.
Right.
Yeah, there's another one.
The reason that she speculated that maybe Russia is already deploying these in Syria is that at the UN they opposed any treaty, let alone ban on these types of weapons. So,
right.
Yeah, they're probably already out there killing people with these.
Yeah, we're also, God, how many fucking existential threats do we have to fucking face right now? It's like fucking global warming. Now we're like, the war toys might fucking kill us all too.
Yeah. At the same time, I feel like there's
fucking White Claw shortages.
It's not that good. We're fine. I'm personally already terrified of my Roomba. Like,
right.
That shit sucks up shoelaces left and right. I can't.
Oh, like with you, with your shoe, like you have your shoelace untied and you're like, oh, fuck, my Roomba.
Yeah,
got me.
It just eats it and goes on its way. Now just put a gun on it, you know?
Yeah.
Yes.
You and my 3-year-old both. can't stand the Roomba. There's something that's
inherently evil.
Inherently terrifying about it.
That, wait, for real?
Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't trust it?
Oh, not at all.
Can't trust it.
Yeah. And anytime it's on, he like doesn't want to be around. And when I'm telling him like, oh, you don't have to worry, it's fine. Like,
it's our friend.
I only like half believe it. Like, I'm like,
he can't even tell.
Maybe like I just have too many like my like sense of what's normal is so calcified that I'm not terrified of this and I should be. Like,
right.
This robot that roams my house.
It knows the dimensions of your house.
Yeah.
It no, cannot be trusted.
And then is that sent to some kind of Skynet?
I don't know.
It can't actually be. I mean, could you imagine? Because then you'd essentially have mapped out the interiors of like people's homes.
Yeah. For the gunboats.
That should already be public record with blueprints, right?
Oh, God, you're right. Yeah. When does it stop?
Kim, it's been a pleasure having you on the Daily Zeitgeist.
Very fun. Thank you.
Where can people find you, follow you? Let's remind them.
Support you.
Yes. To restate, I'm on Instagram and Twitter, the_red_dot. And recently, I made the very bold and courageous step to say I want to try to do my comic full time. So
yes.
Yeah.
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 So
push that, your boat out there.
Yeah, my atomic.
Your autonomous, autonomous sea warfare boat.
Womanizer boat.
The Womanizer 9000.
Yeah, so if you want to support that project, follow me on Patreon. I draw my nudes there, so there is benefits.
Right, great. Yeah. And I think also, too, just if you've never read her comic, you're going to love it.
Yes,
it's
go
fucking,
check it out.
It's amazing.
Right now.
Thank you.
It's poignant. It oftentimes nudges up against the things we talk about. I remember, I think somebody sent me the pineapple pizza topping one when we had a furious debate about pineapple pizza. Not to mention, I see your work on Reddit a lot, too. And the good parts.
You're just making me feel a little happy. Thank you.
Well, shit. I mean, I feel like at least to people who might be like internet humor literate, they've probably might even without knowing maybe the title of your work have. I would wager they're familiar with your work.
That's the coolest shit since I've started it because I follow tons of online artists already, but getting to interact with them and them say like, oh, I saw this comic of yours. I love it. I'm like, oh my God, I've loved you since 10th grade.
Right. Yeah.
That's been the really neat part.
Well, and again, please, I think it's always important to, you know, support artists out there. And I think it's great that you want to, you know, take it to the next level.
Yeah. Mainstream.
And then we'll be like asking you for, you know, like to draw us. Although that's how it all started.
I
remember when you drew Jack.
With nipples.
Right. With nipples way
by my shoulders.
High ass nipples. Shipples.
It's high art.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. High art. High nipples. Is there a tweet or other act of social media you've been enjoying?
Yes. I actually have a tweet from a fellow comic artist on Twitter that had me in stitches. It's from @TinySnick Comics, and it goes, Warn, I touched the damn bill. Or, excuse me, let me start this over. Bernie, I wrote the damn bill. Pete, I smelled the damn bill. Booker, I saw the damn bill. Warren, I touched the damn bill. Biden, I played my record player to the damn bill. Beto, I wrote the fuck bill.
Wrote the fuck bill, bro.
And there's more, but it's just on point from last week's debate.
Oh, mm-hmm. Put your record players on.
Yeah.
So your babies hear words. What was the question about? Slavery?
Miles, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram @MilesOfGray. There's a few tweets that I like. One is from Molly Lambert, who was just retweeting another tweet. She just said, this is the funniest thing to me. And it was from another person who tweeted from Tash Dodick. In memoriam, Joe Keery's immaculate hair. Now, Joe Keery is the dude who plays Steve on Stranger Things. And if you remember, he has a head of hair on him. Mm-hmm. But this evolution of hair is a fucking crime.
Wait, what is he from?
Stranger Things.
Oh,
he had like
shit.
Look at that hair. Mane of
hair. My bad. Oh, shit. It blew it up. Yeah, so there's original.
Oh, yeah.
And then now he's rocking like a fucking weird Noel Gallagher bowl cut.
Did he have a bad breakup?
I don't know, man. That hair was for a man who is follically challenged. Bruh, I should fuck you up.
Oh, man. Like, I know the pain because I just chopped 6 inches of hair off because it's so much to maintain and it felt heavy.
Mm-hmm.
But at least I think my hair looks good. That just, oh, man.
No, this is a terrible decision.
Yeah.
That's, terrible
that's
decision.
That's a problem, man.
That's a fucking, I mean, look, we're going to talk about crimes against humanity.
There we go.
This one right there. Another one is from Eve O'Driscoll at No Money, No Honey with U's. So not H-O or M-O. It says, a Lunchable is a charcuterie if you're not a fucking classist.
Daniel Kibblesmith tweeted, you're killing me, Smalls. Please, Smalls, I'm your friend. Stop. You're not a murderer. Oh, God, Smalls. Oh, God, Smalls, I don't want to die. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what's that going to be today?
This is a track from, I'm not familiar with this artist. I was just hearing it, and I got nostalgic because it kind of reminded me of like drum and bass, jungle, but like with kind of trappy music and very 90s EDM vocalist on it. And this is from Angelica Bess, and it's called Sail to the Sun. And yeah, just, I don't know. It got me nostalgic. It made me feel like I was listening to like electronic music from like the mid-90s, but updated.
Oh.
So early 90s, rather. I don't want to misspeak for any EDM historians out there.
Well, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for today. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast, and we'll talk to you then.
Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.